Okay, so Martin asked last week, as everybody remembers, he goes, well, what does this have to do with Megillah when we got into the Ein Bein? So the Ein Bein, the first is Ein Bein Ader Rishon Ader Sheni, so that's obviously topical. But since the Mishnayos were memorized, so then we started getting into Shabbos versus Yantif, Shabbos versus Yom Kippur. So we have another series very briefly of Ein Bein tonight. So the first is Ein Bein Hamudar Hanam Echaveru Lamudar Imenu Machal El Adrisa Sairegel V'chedim She'en Osin Behen Ochon Nefesh, which means there are two different kinds of nidarim that a person might take. Reuven could say, I don't want to get any hana, I don't want to benefit at all from Shimon. That's obviously more sweeping. And then you could say, Reuven could say, I don't want to get any food benefit from Shimon. So the Mishnah says there are actually only two differences. So the first difference is drisa saregel. In case number one, so the person shouldn't be allowed to go into the home, because going into the home, even though it's not a major thing, you didn't benefit very much. The Gemara says, is that really considered hana? But Rabbi Eliezer's view is that's considered a form of hana. If you're so at odds with somebody, so you want to benefit at all, this person shouldn't benefit from me at all, so then presumably that would include even coming into a person's home. And also, kelim shein osin bahem ochal nefesh. So if a person says, I don't want to get any benefit in terms of food from Shimon, so they would be allowed to, let's say, get a screwdriver, but they wouldn't be allowed to get a pot, because a pot is so closely associated with food, it's basically considered food itself. So the Gemara points out that this is only true in a situation where you couldn't turn around and rent that screwdriver out for some money, because with that money you could purchase food. So saying that you don't want to benefit from somebody in terms of food ends up being almost as sweeping as saying, I don't want to benefit altogether. So there are two different ways of a person making a neder in terms of a karban. One of them is to say, this animal right in front of me should be a karbanola, or another one to say, I'm going to be obligated to bring a karbanola. So the very obvious difference between the two is if something happens to this animal, let's say a drone strike comes in. We used to say lightning strikes, now we say a drone strike. The drone strike comes in and incinerates the animal. So the person said that I'm obligated to bring a karbanola, so you're still obligated to bring a karbanola. Sorry, what happened to Daisy right over here? But if you say Daisy's going to be in karbanola and Daisy doesn't exist anymore, so you could still be mevatel the mitzvah saseh of, Botsas Vasacha Tishmor Vasi, so you could still violate the los saseh of Baal Ta'achar L'Shalmo, because either way you should have brought a karban. But technically speaking, there is this difference between a darim and a davos. There's a halacha called zav. Zav is a situation where a person is experiencing a bodily flow. A zava in the case of a woman. So the Mishnah says, "Ein bin zava roa shtei ri'os l'roa shalosh ela karban." So a person who sees a zav sighting twice, man or woman. So the halacha is that they have to count 7 clean days. This has been incorporated into Hilchos Nida, because Nida and Zava are so closely related. You have to count 7 consecutive clean days, and at the end of the 7 days, go to the mikvah. So that's true of a person who saw 2 re'ios. A person would see 3 re'os in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, so they would be chayav a karban in the case of Zav and Zava. And along those lines, and just to conclude, there's different kinds of tzaras. A person thinks that they have tzaras, so 3 possible results can happen. The Kohen can come and say, Tahor, there's nothing to see here. He could say, Tameh, that's what we call Mukhlat, where it's absolutely clear the diagnosis is Tzaras. And then there's this ambiguous middle category where the Kohen says, it's not clear. And the Pasuk says, V'iskiroa Kohen Shivas Yamin. So the question is, what's the difference between having that and having Tzaras? I mean, like, in the end of the day, it sounds like it really is the same thing. You have to leave the machane. You're considered to be tameh for those period of 7 days. The Mishnah says, "Ein bein mitzora muzgar." Muzgar is where they quarantine you, right? That's going on in the news these days all over the world. The mitzora mukhla to somebody who is dispositively determined to have tzaras, ela ferio ferima. So the Mishnah says that the actual mitzora is going to have to grow out his hair, and he's going to have to tear his clothes. And likewise, on the back end, when he actually is cured of his tzaras, in bein tzar mitoch hezger, v'tzar mitoch achleid, ela tiglachas v'tziporim. As the psukim detail in the beginning of Parshas Mitzora, somebody who had tzaras, and then he is evaluated by the Kohen and determined that tzaras is gone, that he had a refuah near pa, nega tzaras min hatzarua. So the halacha is that he has a special korban of bringing 2 birds, one of them is shechted, one of them he sends 3, and the other one is that he shaves all the hair off his body. If you were just muzgar, if you were in quarantine, but we weren't able to dispositively determine that you had tzaras, yes, you were tameh, yes, you had to leave the machana, yes, it was for 7 days, it's parallel in all those areas, but you don't have the same process, you don't have the same korban, and you don't have to shave all the hair off your body.